The hardening of gentle hearts. Although most everybody instantly recognizes what is kind of sort of meant by the term radicalization, I have misgivings about its use. Yes, I named this folder radicalization, but that was more for reasons of clarity than joy at the actual label. My reservations about the term stem from having heard it used way too often in a pejorative, sarcastic, belittling fashion, especially by government, loaded with the none too subtle innuendo that radicals, by definition, are mentally unstable, low IQ morons, easily brainwashed with a cult-like devotion to supremely evil leaders. I believe this to be unhelpful, as the process is often more a case of the hardening of gentle hearts. I've seen it happen. It happened to me. My first novel, Jeremy's War, goes to some trouble to describe the steady and tragic transition from musing gentleness to hardened fighter, willing to take incredible risks. I thought it was important. When our flying ace hero, Lieutenant Jeremy Armstrong, smashes up his dearly beloved gramophone player, we are in the midst of World War I, the explosive act marks a milestone on his pilgrimage. It represents the deliberate cold-blooded smashing up of the soul's erstwhile peace, a break from the past. Now, angered to searing intensity, hate has become the dominant driving force. Astute readers have suggested to me that they picked up on several clues hinting at partial autobiography. Discretion seals my lips on that aspect. Suffice it to say that the road from average young fellow, heavily into motorcycles and women, poutine and poetry, towards a far more shadowy occupation is a long one. It also tends to be irreversible. Something breaks. The soft heart, the trust in one's fellow man, is lost along the way. Once an actor feigning moody indifference to yet another military checkpoint, the fifth one that day, as you roll up in a big truck, hand over your papers for inspections, saunter down to the back doors to routinely open them for their search with the hidden cargo that, if found, will send you to jail or worse, life is never again the same. You remain forever the cursed actor. In older age, when us now in 2022-23, we stare in stunned incredulity at what is occurring in the countries we love, what has been inflicted on the people we care deeply about. We find ourselves pondering the fate of man and how, in retrospect, we see the rules for radicals that applied then and apply still today. You, poor fellow, know them all too well, for you lived them. For me, it started on my mother's knee as we would sit at the bottom of the stairs, our favourite place. And she, a devout Irish Catholic, would tell me softly of the infinitely tragic history of the Irish, the persecutions, the potato famine, the repeated failed insurrections, the executions of prominent patriots, the terrible Black and Tans. She would tell of the day when she was six and three men marched into her father's chemist shop, ignoring the child present. The little girl was a witness to the whole terrifying scene. The shotgun leveled across the counter at her daddy's chest, and the words they spoke to him harshly, in no uncertain terms, to get the hell out of Belfast, or else. I remember we would whisper and look about fearfully in case somebody malevolent, unseen, hidden, was quietly listening in. It made no sense, for at the time we were living in Holland, and my mother's family had long since fled Belfast, leaving behind a successful chemist shop business, sold off at a loss. My grandfather had been, of course, Catholic, a Republican, and worst of all, a poet and a writer. a recipe for feeling a calamity. And all those years later, we still whispered. Oddly, I suppose, my father hailed from Protestant stock, Northern English and Scottish. It became clear enough later that his family never really approved of his marriage to a Catholic, the way things were in those days, and often yet today. Worse was to come, as my Irish mother refused to marry him unless he became a Catholic. He cannot have been terribly committed in his faith, I suppose, as he obliged. Matrimony, the fact that my mother was a very pretty girl, seems to have outweighed theological niceties. The marriage was fraught, to say the least, and existed on paper and on the rocks. I believe only because of the deep Catholic faith of my mother. My parents had three boys, but he, with a roaming eye, I suppose, managed to father two more sons out of wedlock. Altogether he had five sons, and shipped two off to an Australian orphanage. The out-of-wedlock boys, at age 6 and 8, utterly bewildered, they saw their father for the last time ever, waving them goodbye from a London dockside. He was, in fact, to disown three of his five sons. I was the third. And it was one day at the dinner table that I learnt a valuable lesson by observation. I, very young, had asked my mother a question relating to the IRA, the Irish Republican Army. My father, instantly irate, sneered some vicious comment about the IRA being a bunch of yellow cowards hiding behind stone walls, shooting at unfortunate soldiers, minding their business, their own business. My mother had flinched, cowered down, pale and gone silent, and I, wet behind the ears, learned to never broach the subject again in my father's presence. The impact of childhood exposure on later life radicalization, the hardening of the heart, is inestimable. Fast forward to 1969-1970, and I was in my final year of high school at Rockwell College, Cashel, County Tipperary. Events in Northern Ireland reached a boiling point with a loyalist invasion of Republican areas. The invasion of Bomb Street on YouTube gives a good synopsis of what really lit the long smouldering fuse. A year later, I achieved my heavy goods vehicle driving license.